Hello, hello, and welcome to this edition of the Retail Gazette Unpacked podcast. I'm your host, Kieran Howells, and today we are talking about AI. And look, I know I can hear your groans from here, but this is not a theoretical conversation about the wonders of AI. It's actually about an area that every retailer needs to get under control, a very topical area these days, and that is loss and loss prevention. What happens when you take AI and you take this big monolithical problem within the retail industry and you combine them? Well, there is someone who can tell us exactly what happens. That is Dominic Brynoff. He is the VP of Sales UK and Ireland at Trigo, a company that you may have heard of, who are offering some very, very intelligent solutions to tackle loss. And yes, they are utilising AI, actually utilising AI in their solution. So I cannot wait to kick off with this. Me and Dom have had many conversations over the years, and he is a truly innovative thinker. So let's go ahead and dive in and get this conversation started.
So thank you. Hi, I'm Dominic Brynoff. I'm Vice President of Sales for UK and Ireland at Trigo Vision. I've got the great pleasure of working with some of the best vision AI experts in the industry as we deliver loss prevention solutions and autonomous stores to grocery, health and beauty and convenience retailers all over planet Earth.
Amazing, amazing. Well, it's great to speak to you again, Dom. We've had some fantastic conversations in the past. I'm sure this will be no different. So, okay, to kick us off, AI. It is such a buzzword. We obviously were recently at Euroshop with the company, and AI was all over every banner, everywhere. It's definitely the kind of the buzzword of our time. What I'm wondering is, what is really happening with AI's implementation in retail? Where are we going wrong with our kind of view of the effect that AI can have on retail? And where are we going right?
Yeah. Well, firstly, thank you very much for inviting me in to have a chat today. And I think this is a really great baseline. So I think before we start, it's probably worth just setting out what's important. AI at its best is a practical solution and not just a buzzword. What we're seeing are retailers that are really keen on outcome, pushing back against the hype, and looking to land solutions that have demonstrable value, and then looking to scale where that value is demonstrable. Previously, we've seen a lot around workforce automation, workforce management, inventory, demand-driven replenishment, the autonomous store, of which Trigo was pretty much the first pioneer in. And they're really great. That's all super awesome. But rubber really hits the road when shoppers are added to the mix. You know, us guys walking around a grocery store and having kind of an AI-impacted journey, but it being discreet and in the background. You know, Trigo, we're one of the world's foremost vision AI companies, and we're focused really hard on where those shoppers are. Where is that? That's the store. That's decisions that are made in the aisle. That's what happens at checkout. That's all of the wants and needs that we have in terms of putting food and nutrition. How do we feed the kids today is always a good way of putting it. And I think when we think about the store, it's so much more complex than it was. You know, think back 25 years ago. You must remember, Kieran, when there was only one checkout modality.
Absolutely.
It was the main bank, right?
Spending a lot of time in queues.
In a queue. And then about 25 years ago, self-checkout erupted. You know, it was a slow burn, but now is absolutely everywhere. So that's self-checkout for large weekly shops, you know, the trolley, completely filled, 100 items. We're seeing proliferation around the kiosk style, shoulder to shoulder. So think of Marks and Spencer or a WH Smith at a railway station. You know, there's lots of unstructured behaviour there. We've got self-scan. We've got mobile shopping, you know, walking around with your iPhone, scanning products. But with all of this complexity at the front end, decisions, our decisions as a shopper, are still made deeper into the store. Those decisions are made at shelves, in aisles. And I think also, it's not just the decisions on what we buy. Decisions on what's concealed and stolen are often made, not at the checkout, not at that really complex, unstructured front end, but are made much deeper into the store. So what we're seeing, the retailers that are doing a really good work are actually looking at augmenting, elevating and transforming human decision making and connecting the dots between what happens at the shelf and then what happens at the checkout and at an exit. The organizations that perhaps aren't right on top of this right now are the ones that have lost sight of where the shopper is in that journey.
Mm. That's really interesting, and it brings us back to a point that we were chatting about before we started recording. Maybe we should have started a bit earlier, about the idea that actually a lot of retailers are despairing right now about what's going on under their roofs. And one of the things that you mentioned there was kind of loss, what that process actually looks like, where it happens in the store. If AI can really make an impact, why isn't it everywhere right now? Why are we not seeing it make big efficiency gains today?
It's super interesting, and it's something that I mull over and the team at Trigo mull over all of the time. And we mull it over with the retail partners that we have across Europe. One of the biggest challenges that we see is this thorny topic of technical debt. Dealing with legacy technical choices and the code that you're working with. You and I could walk out from this building onto the high street and identify dozens of retailers that operate their enterprise on code that might be 15, 20, 25 years old. Their ability to be agile, to integrate, and not be beholden to the vendor that provided them with that legacy technology is something that's really hamstringing many retailers in terms of what they do moving forwards. We've also got a number of retailers that have made choices to transform their unified commerce, their POS, the front end of their store. And now they're burdened with projects that are just taking too long to gestate and land. And I can think of a retailer that I'm working relatively closely with right now who talks about a biblical outcome, outcomes that Trigo could deliver that would deliver biblical return on investment, great impact to the bottom line, but concede their technical choices and the ability for them to land this really complex project is taking too long, pushing decision-making further out. So we've got top-down from leadership and management. We've got a big problem. We need to solve it. But as you go down into the organization, inertia, bureaucracy, and this technical debt is really challenging their ability to get on the front foot and be offensive.
What a frustrating situation. We have, you know, we're in this age where actually the technology that can fuel the retail industry is abundant and is moving very fast. We have, you know, really intelligent people inside retailers who are keeping a very weather eye on the industry and seeing these things in the right hands have a massive impact, a biblical impact, but they can't do it themselves. How do you get out of that situation? How do you break that loop?
Yeah, again, something that we mull over quite a lot inside of Trigo, and I'm guessing the industry's mulling this over as well. Something that we've spoken about before is this doesn't have to be open heart surgery. You know, a lot of the AI projects, a lot of the AI programs out there, firstly, they go to die in a lab. So, you know, I'm a real believer, and I think you are as well. Let's get AI into the store. Let's get it to where decisions are made, where money enters the tills, where revenue is generated and value is generated. But in the store, it still doesn't have to be open heart surgery. So, you know, we're working with retailers where they've said integration, that's a major challenge for us because we don't have bandwidth, resource, or we're beholden to vendors that we've made previous decisions with. However, we'd really like to understand what's the size of the prize. What is our problem as far as shoplifting and theft is concerned, for example? So Trigo has an option to sit passively on the existing CCTV and do some really simple things like mapping. Where do my highly stolen goods go out of the store? When I think highly stolen goods, packaged meats, baby formula, energy drinks, alcohol, high value items that seem to have legs and just walk out of stores. So Trigo can sit passively and just map. How does an energy drink leave the store? Is it concealed in the aisle? Is it concealed at checkout, misscanned, something along those lines? Does it go into a backpack and then bypass checkout entirely, something that we call skippers? Now, we can do all of this, mapping it, identifying the size of the prize and the value, the opportunity that retailers have to solve or get on top of, and then deliver it back to retailers as a comprehensive weekly, monthly report that says, these are the highly stolen goods that we're monitoring at shelves and through your checkouts and through your exits. This is the size of the prize. Let's build a business case based on this value and then get into, you know, what budget is apportioned. How do we then go and find the resources required to deliver integration and manage that technical debt? So it doesn't have to be open heart surgery. We can be super light, super nimble, very agile.
Mm. I think it would be really interesting. So that's the North Star. That's where retailers can be. Maybe it'd be really interesting to explore, because I know you know a lot about this, where they are now. So one of the things that you've said to me before is that for, you know, there's a major organization out there who will remain unnamed for the purpose of this podcast, who for their whole estate have kind of 12 people sitting and watching CCTV. I'm guessing just hoping to catch people with their eyeballs, you know, that doesn't sound that effective. Is that actually just, is that a bad case, or is that the standard of kind of loss monitoring where we are currently?
You mean watching CCTV like Netflix?
Yeah, watching CCTV like Netflix.
Yeah, you'll be surprised at how many retailers have invested really significantly in those teams. It could be a national crime hub, a security operations centre. Hundreds of people are employed, and we love employment. We want these people to be employed. But there are two challenges with this. One is the overall cost. Scaling those teams. If you're a retailer with, 500 stores and 1,000 convenience stores, scaling a team to watch all of your CCTV cameras as though it's Netflix is extraordinarily expensive, whether it's minimum wage that we're thinking about or actually the lack of labour availability when a quarter of the workforce is currently economically inactive. It becomes a real challenge to scale. But then there's also, how do we feed those teams? Let's assume that they're there. How do we feed those teams with exception? So rather than them monitoring the haystack, what if we gave them a needle that said, here's something, here is some suspicious behavior at a self-checkout. Here's some suspicious behavior at a manned lane. Here's some suspicious behavior in the aisle. We can see, based on various attributes, that there's a gentleman, there's a lady, they've got a backpack, and they're putting steak into that backpack. Here's something for you to monitor their way through the store. They get to checkout. Great, so they've got to checkout, but they've got a backpack full of steak. Then what? How do we make sure that the human beings in the security operations center actually are able to conclude or watch that journey? And when those steaks aren't scanned, when it's just a Wrigley's chewing gum or a packet of crisps or something scanned through the checkout, how do we then get human decision-making into what happens next? It could be that we automate nudges and alerts, but it could be that we push a real-time alert up to that security operations center, to an associate running the corral, or to in-store security. It's probably worth saying also at this point, Kieran, that we're not policy, we're process. So I'm a real geek, and forgive this analogy. We are Lord of the Rings. We are the Eye of Sauron. Trigo sees everything, all of this activity that's going on in store. But we want the store to determine, the retailer to determine exactly what happens next. And so we can create this catalogue of real-time events, these needles that we lay off to human beings to decide how best to enact that retailer's policy. You might be a retailer that has a non-intervention policy, but you've got store staff with body cams, so we can direct you to exactly where this suspicious behaviour is at, so you can take evidence, recorded evidence of what's going on. You might be a retailer that has a SWAT team, you know, just rappelling down on ropes from the ceiling, in which case your policy may be somewhat different. But it's not for Trigo to determine that policy. We are simply saying, here is an issue. We believe this requires further inspection. Please go forth and inspect what you expect.
Mm-hmm. Fantastic. Well, I mean, look, we've talked quite a lot about the concept of loss and crime in a retail environment, but I don't think we've actually really stated the terms of the scale of the problem that retail's facing. Can you tell us a bit about that? Why are retailers wringing their hands? Where are we with the problem that loss is in our industry?
Yeah, it's, again, something that I think about quite a lot. As a good shopper, these are things that hurt me, right? Both on what I see. So I've watched people leaving a store, skipping the checkout and exiting the store with steaks. It's what I feel as a family man trying to put food on the table, seeing the rising cost of food inflation and so on. But it's also what I experience in terms of looking at colleagues at the front end, despairing at the fact that somebody has stolen from them, despairing at the fact that that might be their bonus leaving the store, and wondering whether they should intervene or not. And there's a case in the news about a Waitrose worker who did intervene and has been fired. So these are all things that concern me as a shopper and someone in the industry. NRF, the National Retail Federation, reported in the US that theft and shoplifting is a $120 billion problem to US retail alone. And it's reported that in the UK, the total economic impact of retail crime on UK businesses is roughly 4.2 billion. Now, that's not just shoplifting and theft, that's all retail crime. But when we break it down, retailers are losing an estimated £3.5 million per day in stolen goods. Now, this isn't a packet of Wrigley's chewing gum typically. These are typically items with higher ticket prices, higher margins associated with them. Again, it's the energy drinks, the baby formula, losing Jack Daniel's whiskey, and so on. Break this down one stage further. Over 20 million incidents of theft and shoplifting were logged in 2023 and 2024. These are all industry available statistics, not made up on the spot by Dom or by Trigo. But you know, that averages about 59 thefts every single hour. So the problem is absolutely enormous. And the problem that we're describing here isn't just around theft of, you know, losing that individual item. Think about the ghost inventory issue. So a retailer system believes that they have all of these bottles of Jack Daniels, all of these sirloin steaks available on the shelves. They're not replenishing. They're not triggering their inventory tools, but they're also losing sales. There's a, Kieran, you want to buy a steak and a bottle of red wine for dinner that evening. There's a hole on the shelf.
Yeah.
So you go to the competitor to buy the steak and that bottle of red wine. So it's much more than just the direct cost that retailers have to bear. It's the impact to the contract that you have, that they have with you as a consumer, when there are holes in the shelves, when shelves aren't being replenished because of shoplifting. There's a loyalty issue. It's a really profound problem that I think we, the retailers, and the wider industry need to really get on top of.
And of course, there's nuance in there as well. I mean, you know, you say a big portion of that is people who are going out of their way to go into a retailer and steal high price items. But there is a whole other level here as well that we must talk about, because I think the conversations that I've had with Trigo and yourself have maybe opened my eyes more to the nuances in loss and the fact that actually someone could be, I know after a night of my child not sleeping, I can go into a store and forget that I'm literally holding something that I mean to buy, scan other things and walk out before I realise. There is a whole level here that actually is the general population who don't consider themselves criminals as well, right?
Yeah, Archie Norman, who's the chairman of Marks & Spencer, you know, a retail guy through and through, phenomenal chap. He's on record of saying, you know, there are several issues here. The rise of middle-class shoppers, perhaps the technology doesn't work. You tried scanning things multiple times, the barcode isn't being read, whatever it happens to be. You feel that your side of the value exchange, you've done your bit, right? You've tried your very best, and now I'm going to just pocket this item or bag it because, to your point, you've got a child at home waiting for you, you've got to get on with work, life is busy. So Archie talks about that. Then there's exactly what you've just described, which is you walk in, you don't pick up a basket, you don't pick up or walk through with a trolley, but you see a promotion and suddenly your hands are laden and you get to the checkout and you scan them in a very unstructured way. This has become kind of atypical behaviour in retail stores. Of course, you've got hypermarkets with big trolleys, but the shift to convenience is driving much more of this unstructured behaviour. Our frequency of shopping is much higher than it's ever been before. Now, if you're not moving items left to right or right to left through a typical self-checkout journey, you've got items, you're managing them through, that's where Trigo absolutely excels. This unstructured behaviour, getting on top of identifying products that you've got in your hand, connecting the dots with items you've picked up from the shelf, and then giving you, Kieran, because life is busy and you're thinking about lots of different things, giving you a gentle nudge to say, excuse me, sir, we think that you didn't scan that barcode, or you might have another item, and giving you the ability to self-correct your journey without requiring human intervention. Mm. Now, there's some optionality here. You could be a career criminal, and you say, no, I haven't concealed anything. This goes back to our ability to generate a real-time alert, a needle, that goes up by exception to a team that's in a security ops center, national crime hub, or store security. But generally what we see is most shoppers are really good. We're all decent people who are busy and time poor. We will self-correct. That, you know, if we weren't in place, if it was just reliant on unexpected item in the bagging area, you know, that phrase that we all absolutely hate, half the time self-checkouts don't have the weight learning database, particularly when we're in these unstructured express kiosky type self-checkouts. So back to my geekiness. With the eye of Sauron, our vision AI sees everything. And we can just, without any form of aggression, without too much friction for the shopper, just create a nudge or an alert that allows you to self-correct your journey. If we can do that often enough and with enough accuracy, and again, something else that Trigo really prides herself on, our ability to be hyper-accurate here, if we can do it often enough and with enough accuracy, we'll start delivering demonstrable savings to the bottom line from day zero. As soon as you implement us, you start seeing savings.
Yeah, and listen, that sounds fantastic, right? But everyone who has an intelligent solution would say, we can save you a bunch of money. And that maybe is only half the battle for our listeners today. The other half is getting that money justified in the first place to make the investment. So I'm wondering two things. One, does a really smart AI-fueled solution require a really honed database? Because that's maybe something that, you know, it is already a stumbling block right at the beginning for a lot of people. They know that their data is not as honed as it should be. And B, does it require a big budget to start?
Okay. Should we start with budget first?
Let's go for it.
Let's get that one wrestled. It is a big one. And at a time where, you know, the economic backdrop for most retailers is really, really challenging, as it is for consumers, the very best solutions that we see should not require huge capital investment or huge capital expenditure. In fact, it should be quite the opposite. There are solutions out there. They're from competitors who we like and who we value a lot. But they require significant amounts of in-store processing, significant amounts of capital investment, big servers, and dedicated standalone devices. And if retail was utopia, perhaps that would be fine, but it's not. It's just not practical for today's retailers to deliver standalone devices and standalone infrastructure. It's also not practical for consumers when we start thinking about the cost of food prices and inflation, because ultimately that investment has to be paid somewhere. Yeah. So instead, we're thinking really practical. So this major that we've got around vision AI for loss prevention, together with our partners, we're working on a near capex zero model. So what does that mean? A requirement for a really small server, sort of a workstation, gamer PC, handheld desktop device style server that could be fit anywhere within the store. And then our algorithms sitting on existing technology choices, your existing CCTV cameras, assuming they're IP cameras, we become a layer that just sits over that existing feed that you have today. There might be some minor moves and changes, angles of cameras and so on, but really low bar to entry. And as we think about entry, Trigo actually offers very low cost implementations for trial. So try us for 3 months, implement us. We'll provide the kit that's required. We will work in that offline mode and then building up through an integrated mode into fully real time, fully realized outcomes. But we'll do that for you in a limited number of stores, not one, but perhaps not more than three, so we can have some data to compare store to store. Try us. Let's look at the value that we're able to create for you. Let's look at the real-world business case. Let's look at the impact to shoppers and how nudges and alerts kind of do create friction for good shoppers or bad shoppers. Let's take a look at that. Understand whether it's a bar that's too high, too low. What level of friction will your shoppers bear? And let's dial ourselves into that. And then start thinking about how we scale. But capital expenditure should not be a barrier for solving such a huge issue. We think we've got the right answers in terms of minimizing that and allowing you to test, to iterate, to learn from Trigo, and then ultimately create a platform that scales.
Yeah, it can't be a barrier, can it? It comes back to what we were talking about the first part of this conversation, that if that was the case, none of this would, it would all remain theoretical for the majority of retailers. They just cannot, they need to be able to show results before they actually gain investment from boards or, you know, whoever is holding the budget there.
I think there's also, though, a two-way conversation that needs to be had with the shopper. I'm an optimist. I think 99.9% of shoppers are awesome. You know, they're all good shoppers. We all try our absolute best. Very few people go out of their way to be intentional thieves. Occasionally, unintentionally, as you described, we might. But it's never thoughtful or purposeful. There's a really small minority of organized retail crime and opportunistic thieves out there. So the conversation I think we need to have with people is, yes, there are cameras monitoring your journey through the store. But you know what? We take a really high bar to this, and we're going to take a hard path, which is building something that protects your privacy. Intentionally and purposefully protect your privacy, the pixelation of your face, the fact that we're not looking at biometric markers, not looking at age, race, ethnicity, gender, taking all of those things out of the equation and protecting your data, your face, everything else, all of your markers. So we, through design, have decided that that is a choice. We're not a facial recognition company. Now, we don't actually change the original CCTV feed. So for analysis and investigative reasons, the retailer can still marry a Trigo exception, that needle that we've identified, with the existing footage and then pass that on to law enforcement. But we want to have a really good conversation with shoppers that says, your data, your privacy, all of the GDPR requirements that you have, and we work with four of Europe's top five grocery chains, for example, where we're really hyper sensitive, we and they are sensitive about that GDPR and that privacy. We think having that conversation with with shoppers, explaining to them what's happening with their data, explaining to them that we think that we don't require things like face and biometrics is super important. And I think we'll find more and more shoppers on board with this if they understand what the tech is, what the tech does, and how we want to use the tech to ensure that we protect food prices, items on shelves, all of the things that are super important to retailers and to the consumer.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's like all of these kind of things. No one wants to be profiled, but they want their local Tesco's or Asda or Sainsbury's to still be there, right? Like, it's important to people to maintain and help kind of look after their local supermarkets. I have seen an example of Trigo's tech in action, and it looks very interesting on the screen, the kind of the stick kind of figure over the person. Can you explain, if you're not using that biometric data, if you're not using facial recognition, how do you identify people?
Oh, that's great. I'm really pleased you've seen, because I think it's great when you see a demo and you realise that faces are pixelated through standard and we're looking at points of the human body. A lot of this concept came out of our work in the autonomous store space. And as I mentioned at the top, you know, we've developed autonomous stores for some of the most impactful retailers on planet Earth. And we understand at a really granular level the complexity of human shelf product interaction. And the way that we did that was not looking at human beings, but effectively turning every human being into a digital twin. So tracking head, shoulders, elbows, and wrists, the 7 points. And we found that to be really super helpful in terms of, you know, understanding when items are taken off a shelf. We're not looking at Kieran doing that. We're looking at an anonymous digital stick man of you doing that. Taking an item from the shelf, you put it back, returning it. So we've taken exactly that same concept, you know, the brain that we developed in the autonomous store, all of that really complex know-how around unstructured shopping behavior, how people interact at shelf, but also then how people interact at checkout. So that same digital twin looking at where is the barcode oriented on using product recognition or item recognition. We identify a product. We know whether you put your hand in front of it because we can see the digital twin has made sure that they've covered that skeleton. So really powerful technology that is designed with privacy at its heart. Connecting all of the dots between the checkout exit and then that behavior that happens at a shelf.
Mm-hmm. Well, it sounds fantastic. I know one of the things that maybe our listeners may be wondering is, and I think this is always a key anxiety whenever you're trying something new, whether you're, you know, committing to a new system, is that you don't end up in a similar situation in 5-10 years time, where you end up with a brand new wave of legacy debt on top of all of the other legacy debt that you're dealing with. So in especially today, when it seems like AI solutions, it seems like the technology that we have in the retail space is moving incredibly fast, how do you ensure from a Trigo perspective that what you're doing is keeping up, and that when you're customers, when your clients are investing in your services, that you're giving them technology that can flex and grow as technology evolves?
Yeah, I think this is really interesting. And funnily, I was having a chat with somebody earlier this week about exactly the same subject. They were concerned that they've got such a volume of vendors, such a volume of AI programs. There's ones for inventory, ones for looking at the lifespan of an item on a shelf. They're looking at retail media attribution, business intelligence, actionable insight. Everything that you can think of could be delivered by an AI agent from vendor A, B, or C. We think that part of the trick here is to build technology, but with end game in mind. So what's the end game of a retail store? You know, we've seen the proliferation of checkout. We've seen autonomous stores get reasonable traction. You know, the real-time ability of an autonomous store to track behavior. Let's just say, for argument's sake, that's end game. How do we start with something light, really business case positive, such as loss prevention, demonstrably returning something to the business case, delivering something right back to the bottom line? How do we take a case like that, add capability to it? So it might be we look at queue time, dwell time, heat maps, path to purchase. We then might add some additional sensors and devices. We could add in the capability of retail media attribution, shelf, inventory state, availability, whatever it happens to be. And we can gradually figure out a way through vision AI, this layer in the store that sees everything, adding capability over time. So start with a cast iron business case, add capability over time. And this idea that we might end up getting to the end game of a fully autonomous store, but not having to think or contemplate the large or larger capital outlay to get there. So stepping stones to build our way there. And we think there's this, you and I have spoken before about the paradox of choice, where, you know, too many decisions actually slows down the decision-making process, turning consumers off and whatnot. We think that if there's a roadmap here, if there's a good vision beyond, you know, we want to solve, Trigo wants to solve loss prevention. And we know that when we solve loss prevention, we have the capability to do so much more from this eye that sees everything. So let's start thinking about this future state outcome with a logical jumping off point that delivers for business leaders, for retailers and consumers.
Fantastic. Okay, look, we have managed not to navel gaze once in this conversation. And as two people who are very, very fascinated by technology, I'm sure it's taken all of our power to do that. This has been a very, very practical conversation, a very pragmatic conversation about actions that retailers can really take today and the reasons for those actions. Let's allow ourselves a tiny bit of navel gazing at the end here. So I'm wondering, you just described kind of maybe where we can logically see similar technologies taking us. Where would you like to see it go? Like, if you, with all of your knowledge about the retail industry, could picture where AI and all of the amazing technology that we're seeing evolve right now could take us, what's that vision in your head?
Yeah, super interesting question. I always go back to, you know, a lot of the things that we discuss, right, are centered on two things. They're centered on, how do I lower costs as a retailer? How do I lower costs as a shopper? How do the price of things that I buy, how can we reduce those? And then I think about experience. What does a great friction-free experience look like for me as a consumer? My two high bars, by the way, here are, I love the Apple Store. Mm. I don't know anybody that walks into an Apple Store and doesn't feel they're in the middle of retail theatre.
Yeah.
I've got slightly older kids, but when they were younger, they used to love the Lego Store.
Yeah.
You know, because it's pure retail theatre, great fun. I'd love, genuinely love, us to be looking at AI programs that deliver that cost down for the retailer and the shopper, but elevate experience. Before we started rolling on the podcast, we were chatting about Whole Foods and their abilities to seduce, to deliver retail theatre, but also to do some really cool things, which is you still have discovery in those stores. And I think there's a really great opportunity that we all have, which is to turn, if we can eliminate as much friction as we possibly can. There is an amount of friction that all shoppers will bear, but let's just say, for argument's sake, we can get that down to the smallest amount of friction possible. Whether that's through checkout, whether that's through not driving, unexpected item in the bagging area, and friction at checkout, and all of those sorts of things. Perhaps we'll get to a space, perhaps, where shoppers find more discovery, more genuine moments of experience and elation. I'd love to see more stores that are experientially driven, but still deliver with me the same outcome, which is I need to put food and nutrition on the table today. I need to get my basics, but I still want that moment of magic. So that's where I'd love us to be.
Fantastic. Well, I will see you there because it sounds great. It has been such a pleasure to speak to you. Thank you so much for your time today. It's made me think so much. I'm sure that our listeners will feel the same way. Been an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much.
No, thank you, Kieran. And we'll see you at the RTS show.
We will indeed see you at RTS. Yeah, an exciting event. Next big thing in the calendar, isn't it?
It is indeed. Fantastic. Thank you very much.